Chapter 22. The next morning, Nia checked out of the window, saw it was dry and seemed to hold the promise of a sunny day. Finding Gwen's file of walks once more, she chose a different walk, this time to Hedon Warren. "Right, Romeo, let's get ready for a good long walk." Nia packed up food and drinks for them both and set out. They parked on the roadside and then walked together up an unmade road that led to a sandy path. They were surrounded by the creamy yellow flowers on the gorse bushes. To her right, she'd read, was the narrowest stretch of Solent between the island and the mainland, and she could see the Tudor fortress of Hurst Castle. They kept climbing, and when they reached the top, the views were breathtaking. The sun shone down on blue, glistening water, and ahead she could see what had to be one of the most iconic pictures of the island, Alum Bay, with its famous coloured sands, and the Needles Lighthouse at the end of the stack of jagged white chalk rocks. "Look at that, Romeo," she said. "Isn't it just fabulous?" The wind was cool but gentle on her face as she sat sharing her lunch with Romeo, watching an array of birds. She recognised the gulls and wagtails, but there were some that were new to her. The freshness of the air seemed to blow away the heaviness she'd been feeling the past few days. Not for the first time, she felt the island reaching out to her, and she knew that despite all the trauma around Ruby, something inside her was healing and she was getting stronger. The next day, Nia had a full day's work ahead, and so she slipped into her new work clothes and went to the salon. Jade was so very quiet and pale that morning that Nia asked if she was unwell. Jade replied rather abruptly that she was fine, and so Nia began her appointments for the day. Most appointments were straightforward colours and cuts. She noticed that Joe had an appointment that afternoon and was looking forward to talking to him. It would be interesting to see if she could find out what he was up to on a Sunday night after he closed White's, and of course she still needed to find out what his argument with Ruby had been about. Joe rushed in 10 minutes late and dived into the chair.
"Sorry, nearly forgot," he said. "Now, I was thinking of trying something new but trendier. What do you reckon?"
Nia was surprised, but asked him what he had in mind.
"I've a few celebrations coming up, as it's my 30th this year. Dad is planning some big do, and some friends on one of the yachts are throwing a party for me. Also, of course, there's old Gaffer's this weekend, although I'll be busy manning the bar then. It's always a good weekend for business. Anyway, I was thinking kind of short at the sides, long on top."
"That kind of style is popular and looks good. Let me find some magazines to get a better idea of what you're thinking of." It soon became clear to Nia what Joe wanted. She'd done the kind of cut many times for students in Cardiff. "Come on then, let's wash your hair." As she washed Joe's hair, she could feel him moving, his foot tapping on the floor and his fingers drumming on his knees. He was not one to stay still for long. Once he was back in the styling chair, she tried gently to position him upright, keep his head still. But he was going to be like a child, she could see, and it would be a major achievement to give him a perfectly straight cut.
"Weird. I mean, even here it's odd. I keep expecting Ruby to show up."
"I think everyone finds that. It's very hard. You and Ruby were close, weren't you?"
"We were. She had a good heart. I know she had all that religious stuff, but despite that, she meant well."
"Yes, I think that as well. It was all so traumatic, wasn't it? I remember how shocked everyone was at the vigil. It was a very emotional night for everyone, particularly Richie." "Does he often get violent like that?"
"He's never hit me before, if that's what you mean. I guess I was a bit hard on him. But Ruby meant a lot to me, and I never felt he took as much care of her as he should."
"I am sure you have wonderful memories of your times with Ruby. You must cherish those."
"I will," said Joe. "I only wish my last day with her hadn't been so fraught. It was so tense at the party, and I wish I'd been gentler with her, especially as we'd had a few words earlier in the day."
She felt him suddenly hold his breath, caught his eye in the mirror. She was sure he regretted saying that. He added quickly,
"That was nothing, of course. Ruby thought I'd had a late night drinking, that's all. She liked to keep me on the straight and narrow."
Nia smiled, but wasn't sure this was the real story. Surely it had to be something more significant than that if Ruby had told him he should be telling his parents about it. However, she replied, "I see. I'm sure she was looking out for you. So tell me, how has the fishing been going?" His eyes flitted sideways.
"Oh, you know, comes and goes."
"I went down the pier the other evening. I didn't see you there." He blinked.
"I must have been busy at work. Are you enjoying working here, then?"
Nia could see she wasn't going to get any more out of Joe about the fishing and answered, "Yes, and I like Yarmouth very much. You're so fortunate to have a business here."
"That's my parents. They're incredible. They're not stinking rich or anything. Dad had put all his savings into this business for me."
"A lot of pressure, then."
"You bet. All my mates tell me how lucky I am, but they are out every night drinking. I can't do any of that. I can't blow this."
"But you enjoy it?"
"Yeah, I love it."
He paused as Jade came close to them to fetch some hair oil.
"You all right, then?"
he asked. She gave him a cursory smile.
"Dad was asking if you'd like to go out sailing sometime."
Joe caught sight of Nia in the mirror.
"Dad really likes Jade," he explained.
Jade didn't reply but went back to her client.
"Has she come back too soon?"
Joe asked quietly. "She doesn't look right."
"I don't know, maybe, but she wants to keep busy."
"I get that."
Nia dried and styled his hair, and as he looked critically at his reflection, she showed him which products to use so that he could keep the style going for himself.
"Wow, that's brilliant."
He called over to Jade.
"What do you think of the new me?"
She sent a half smile but didn't say anything. "It really suits you," said Nia, grinning. This was one of the best bits of her job, seeing someone excited with their look. He tore off his cape and stood up.
"That's great. Thanks, Nia."
He paid and left. Finally, the last client left after what had been a full day's work. They'd nearly finished when Jade suddenly put down the broom she was using and rushed to the toilets at the back of the salon. Nia could hear her being violently sick. Not wanting to intrude, she waited until Jade came back out before asking her if she was all right.
"Never better," Jade said.
She was as white as a sheet, her eyes red.
"Maybe you should take a few days off. I could try and cover some of your clients. You must still be in shock from losing Ruby. People will understand."
Jade shook her head.
"This is nothing to do with shock."
"Something you've eaten?" Jade shook her head again, looked deep into Nia's eyes. Suddenly, Nia remembered Ruby holding Jade in the toilets at White's, telling her everything would be all right. With a flash of insight, Nia knew exactly what was happening.